And God says, I'm going to be with you in the new land. He was there with them in Jericho. He was there with them as they served the Lord into that promised land. And I know what we're thinking. Boy, that would be great. That'd be wonderful to have God with me. And he is. He is always with us. So as you're getting ready to, I don't know what Christmas looks like for you. Christmas looks like a very busy time for a lot of you. And I know some of you because I see the ways that you're here. But sometimes at Christmas time, you see people that you pray for all year. But you don't get to see them but every few times because they're family. Yeah, love to see them saved. You love to see them get right. And you want to be a blessing. You want to be encouragement. And sometimes when you go into certain homes, certain families, it might not always be the most comfortable. You might be seeing people and around people that you're not always the most comfortable with. I want to remind you the Lord's with you. And he has promised he's going to go with you. And he has promised you that he would even lead you and guide you. The promises that go along with the Comforter in that chapter, John chapter number 14, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit of God is willing to do as we allow him to. So as we consider how crazy, how busy Christmas is, we think Emmanuel, God with us. And it was great that God came, became man for us and he dwelt among us. But here we have the Spirit of the living God living inside of us. And the same promise, he looked at Joshua and said, look, just like I was with that individual, I'll be with you. And just like I was in the wilderness with them and provided the manna and provided the shoes, the capability, the clothes not wearing out. He says, whithersoever thou goest, anywhere you go, I'm going to be with you. So as you do that and you think about that, no matter whether it's a challenging family member or maybe a coworker that you have to have a certain spot with or a neighbor you want to go invite to the Christmas program, we don't have to be afraid because we have a God that goes with us. Look what it says, and that's your first major point there. Hopefully you can take for some encouraging words from your handout. We don't have to be afraid because God is with us. Some great verses. It says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's saying you do not have to be afraid because I'm with you. And what an amazing promise that's there. Whatever we go across, wherever we go, any type of uncomfortable feeling we have, and sometimes I agree the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, be sensitive to it, but we don't have to be afraid of doing what God's called us to do. Live in the presence of God. I know sometimes people are a little bit, feel a lot more comfortable with somebody else's around. And sometimes I hear that, and sometimes I remember growing up and talk about my dad a little bit, and my dad was a police officer. In my mind, he was a very vibrant individual. I used to think, he was the guy that could beat up anybody else's dad. And if he couldn't beat up anybody else's dad, he wore a gun. He could just shoot him. So, he was someone who I thought was, so in my dad's presence, I was never afraid of anything. I even, not very often, but maybe once or twice, rode inside the squad car. At least I remember one time we took off with the lights going, and I thought it was great. And I'm thinking, most people would be like, it's a child. He might be in danger. No, my dad was there. It didn't matter if I was going into the worst neighborhood. It didn't really matter. My dad was there. He was going to take care of me. And when we approach different subjects, and there are times when things are uncomfortable, there are times when we may be concerned and that we are anxious or worrisome or have a care about things. But he's saying those are natural feelings, but you don't have to feel that way. You can, as that promise that someone says, I think it was about not having dominion. Sin, that we don't have to have that fear. We don't have to have that worry. No matter what's going on in my life, I know God is with me and God can lead me and God can provide for me and God can protect me. So implant or imprint in your heart, God is with me and I live in the presence of God. And let that comfort you to the point that you don't have to be afraid. Think about what it says in Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is he not going to fear any evil? He says, for thou art with me. He's with us. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think the psalmist there, and it's a beautiful psalm. Many of us know it. It's at the spot. It's the shadow of death. And I know I've heard preachers, I've even said it myself, we all live in the shadow of death. But David here is thinking about even the very, very dangerous times in his life. He says, well, I don't have to be afraid. I don't, because the Lord's with me. His rod and his staff, which actually are pictures, and we're not going to get into that this morning. It talks about how they comfort me and they encourage me. So remember that God is always with us. Next thing I want you to think about in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it says we don't have to do God's work alone. Because unfortunately, we don't let men make us fearful oftentimes. We don't let people bother us as much. But what really bothers many of us today is doing the work of the Lord. This is part of the Great Commission. And we've been teaching as in a story form to the children's church, and we've been talking about, we went from creation to the fall of man to now there was the announcement that was given to Mary thousands of years later. And then as the story continues on, Jesus is born, you have the shepherds, you have the wise men, and then you have all those amazing stories about Jesus. And then at the end, he dies for the sins of mankind. He rises again. He spends time with them. Think about that. From all the way back at Genesis, all the way through those thousands of years, they look for that Savior. They look for that Messiah. They look for all those things. And for 3 days, he trains his disciples. And what does he tell them? I want you to go to all the world. And I want you to tell them about me. I mean, that was the message. You think about it. Thousands of years, they looked for this Messiah, the Savior. He came to the world. He did what he was supposed to do. He seeked and saved that which was lost. He brought it all the way there. And he says, now I want you to go into all the world and tell the world about me. That's his commandment that he's given us. But do we do it? I mean, like I said, it's the picture that's been portrayed and that's been painted all along. And it comes down to this spot. This is what he tells us to do. But we're afraid. But here, if you look at this verse where you're reminded, he says, teaching them to you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He says, I'm with you. I'm not going to tell you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature by yourself. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to give you the words to say if you allow me to. I'm going to tell you who to speak to and who not to speak to. And so who does it? Well, look at the book of Acts. Look at the difference they made in so many different people's lives. And you think about it, all that time, all that lead up, all of creation looking forward to that. And he says to his creatures, his servants, hey, this is what I want you to do. But we're fearful of it. We're worried what someone else might say more than we're worried about what the Messiah is going to think. And so we don't have to be afraid because we're not doing the work of God alone. There's a quote down there. It is much more difficult for a believer God. It's much more difficult for a believer to sin if he can sense that he's in the presence of God. Now, that you say, well, Pastor, I know I live in the presence of God, but if you're tempted with something and your mindset, you're reminded, and the Holy Spirit reminds me of this all the time, he says, you know, God's seeing what you're doing. You're living in the presence of God. If I care about the Lord, I don't want to do that. Now, the flesh pulls against us. It's hard to recognize ourselves dead. But many times we'll sin, we'll not even think about it because we don't live consciously in the presence of God. And that's the point of the lesson this morning, implant is in our heart. We live consciously in the presence of God. God sees it. Care about what God thinks. Care about what God desires. Don't purposely be sinning in his presence. I know sometimes we deal with children, and sometimes children can be challenging. Sometimes children can be deceitful. Sometimes children are out there, and there are certain children out there who will not ever do anything wrong when you're around, but when as soon as you're gone, they might go to do something else wrong. And I think about a few children I've dealt with before, and I've seen them. I said, don't do that. And they look at you, they smile, and they still do it. And you know, those are the ones you get really, you want to wring their neck and you're like, come on. But at the same time, it's the point, they don't care about your presence. They don't care that you're there. As a believer and as a Christian, we should care that we're in his presence. And that when we say the things we say, and when we act the things that we act, and we do the things that we do, we got to remember, God's seeing this. And then we could be like those other children that are supposedly the good kids that just wait till you leave. All kids do that, but some kids are better at being deceitful and better at being, now I'm hearing my sons, they become college students, they talk a little bit about things that maybe they did as children. I says, I didn't know you did that, and they just smile sometimes. And you learn things, or they're at college, and you're never there at college, and they talk about things, and you're like, what did you do? You did what? You said what? And all those things, but those things they would have never done in my presence. at least not as a child. And I'm not saying that they're out there being horrible, but we act different ways in the presence of other people. But God's presence should matter to us. It should. And so as we go, don't be afraid of what you're supposed to do. Remember, God is working with you. And remember that if we're in his presence, it should change the way we live our lives. It's much more difficult, at least it is for me, as a believer, if the Holy Spirit brings to my mind that God is watching what I'm doing and what I'm tempted by, it's much more difficult for me to sin. Is that what I say? I never have done that? Of course I have. I've let the flesh get better, and I've used that lie or that excuse, well, God's just going to forgive me anyway, or the temptation's too great. But trust the promises. Now, here's a couple of things. I know we're done with that. Of the presence of God. Anybody think about somebody went out of the presence of God? Anybody else? So it doesn't say that they purposely did this, but in Genesis chapter number 3, when they left the garden, it says here in Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Now, can you imagine that? Only two people on the whole earth, and it's God. And they really think that they can go hide amongst the bushes and God's not going to find them. I mean, that's pretty crazy. It's sort of like that three-year-old you're playing hide-and-go-seek with, and they just go stand in the corner. They don't get behind anything. They're just standing there and trying to be quiet, and you call their name, and they giggle, and you know exactly where they're at. You know, God knows it all. He sees it all. But Adam and Eve, because of their sin, said, you know what? Let's go hide ourselves. Let's get away from the presence of God. It's not going to work. If we have sin in our hearts and our lives, doesn't mean that no longer we're not in his presence. We are in his presence. And another thing, it says in Genesis 4:16, and Cain went out from the presence of God and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He went out from the presence of God. And that's a sad thought. But that's not something as a believer is ever going to get away from the presence of God. Jonah was another example when it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Did he get out of God's presence? He did not. Are you going to be able to ever get out of God's presence? You're not. He's omnipresent. But he gives us a spirit to also lead and direct. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verses 7 and 8, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is there. He's ever present. So do we live consciously? Do we make a choice? Now, they're trying to run from God. They're trying to get out of God's presence. God has always wanted fellowship. God has always desired. I believe that's the reason why God created us for the fellowship. I believe even in the garden, it talks about how he came in the cool of the evening or whatever it was. I believe that wasn't the first time he did that. I believe there was a desire there. We think about Revelation 3:20 when it's talking about the churches. Stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It's I'm desiring to fellowship with you. I'm desiring to sit with you. I'm desiring to spend time with you. We live in his presence. Do we think about it? I think it was Clarence Sexton that says, live consciously. First time I heard a person say, live consciously in the presence of God. That's where you find victory at, when you live in the presence of God and you care that you're in the presence of God. Like I said, I can think of a few young people who didn't matter if I was there, didn't matter if my wife was there, didn't matter if their parents were there. They were going to do what they wanted no matter what. And they had to be taught and learn you should care about the presence of the people you're around. Sometimes I think even some adults need to understand, you know, I'm in the presence of God. You might not respect people. You might, and I think that's a wrong type of attitude. You might not care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to tell them what I think and how I feel and go on your little tirades. But don't ever forget, you're in the presence of God. And you might not have a respect for them, but boy, you should bow the knee to God. And you should care about how you think, how you act, and how you feel, because he sees on the inside. So the question is, do we live consciously in the presence of God? So that's my problem. Just say, if I'm doing what I'm doing, just live and make sure you remember God sees what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. And live consciously in that presence. We don't have to be afraid. Whatever you're going to be facing this Christmas season, you're not doing it alone. You're not going to have to do the work of God alone. Like I said, thousands of years, This is what I want you to do. This is now, did he give us commandments about how to raise our family? He did. Did he give us commandments about what we should do with our husband and wife? He did. I know there's people out there that would think that divorce is unbiblical and that I'd never get divorced, but they don't have a problem not being telling anybody about Jesus Christ. They're both commands. They're all commands. I would never lie. I would never steal. Let's remember we're living in the presence of God. Let's be that complete Christian this coming Christmas because of the fact we're not doing the work alone. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, I'm thankful that your Spirit of God resides in believers. The Bible even talks about how we're the temple of God. And God, I am thankful that we're in your presence. And Lord, I pray that you would stamp this on my heart. Even as we think about Joshua, you said, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I think about some men and ladies that I look up to and have thought over the years, I wish I had that type of relationship with God. And Lord, you're willing to be with me. You're going to be with me, but you're willing to be as close to me as I want you to be because of the way I live my life. And God, I also consider the fearful circumstances that we're going to face. We live in a broken world. There's a lot of things that are fearful today, a lot of things that we could be worried about and concerned about. But you tell us in your word to be careful for nothing. It's because you're there with us. You see what we're going through. You understand what we're going through. You can deliver us from what we're going through. And God, I pray that you would just work in our hearts. Help us through this Christmas season to be that witness you desire us to be. But not just that, but in the ways that we treat our families, we treat our mates, the way that we treat one another, the way that we treat the lost and dying world that's around us, Lord, that we would always say, I'm in the presence of God. Let me remember that. Help us not to try to run away from it like Adam and Eve did and think I can just get away with it. God's not going to notice. Help us also not to try to run as Jonah did, but Lord, instead, to seek after you. That's where we're going to find that true satisfaction in our Christian walk, when we're seeking for you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we pray you bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.